Well, we return to this text in John 21, where we see again the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see this in response to great failure. We sang in the hymn, "Touch me and heal me." And in fact, and indeed, it's God's healing touch, which is his greatest faithfulness in our lives. You know, failure, it's a word we don't like. And yet, we know also that there's a difference between a man who says, "I failed three times," and another man who says, "I am a failure." The reality of life, as we know, is that failure for each one of us comes from time to time on the path to achievement and 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 achievement. Edison, who was probably the most famous and the greatest inventor of American history, the modern age. Did you know that Thomas Edison spent $100,000, and you got to think back, this is in like 1905. Thomas Edison spent $100,000 testing over 6,000 different materials to find the proper filament for a light bulb. Each failure brought him closer to finding that right filament. Do you know out of those 6,000 material, 5,997 were failures? Three worked. And of course, the light bulb is history. Henry Ford was right when he said, "Failure is the opportunity to begin again, wiser." One of the greatest baseball players of all time, the great slugger Babe Ruth. Did you know that he holds the record for 1,316 strikeouts in a single season? Do you know that he holds the record for 5 strikeouts during a single World Series? Failures of many sorts are found in each person's life, but they're not meant to define one's life. We don't remember Edison for his failures. We remember him for his achievements. We don't remember Babe Ruth for his strikeouts. We remember him for his home runs. This is true in Chris, 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 true. It's a mistake to believe that purity and perfection define Christian life. And oh, by the way, it's the unbelievers, it's those who are in rebellion against God that like to hold you up to that standard. And so if they see any flaw or any imperfection in your life, you'll hear this, and I'm sure you've heard it before. "Oh, that person, so-and-so, he calls himself a Christian. Well, if that's Christianity, I want no part of it." I mean, we've all heard that. And so it's actually unbelievers who like to call you hypocrites, saying Christians should be perfect. But you know, there's also at least 2 major denominations in Christendom who teach that if you are truly saved, you will sin no more. The Bible doesn't teach that, though. The reality is that as Christians, sometimes we fail. We fail in our Christian walk. Often, the reality is, often in your daily life, you will fail. In small ways, but they're just as offensive to God. What's really true, too, is that each one of us fails in offensive ways that we don't even understand. And then, of course, unfortunately, sometimes we fall into gross sin. But Christians, they're not defined by purity and perfection, but they're also not defined by their sins. Christians are defined by your as Jesus makes a point to his church here. John 21, beginning at verse 15. And again, this is after the resurrection when Jesus met all the disciples on the beach. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter. Now remember, he's doing this in front of the other disciples. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus said to Peter again a second time, Simon, son of Judah, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because Jesus said to him a third time, do you love me? And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This Jesus spoke, signifying what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. The second Sunday after Easter, this Sunday, we're going to probably my favorite of the 12. And he's my favorite because, first of all, he was a man of action. He was a sailor. He was a strong man. He also spoke what was on his mind. And I think that's why Jesus picked him as one of his disciples. Because as you read the Gospels, it's always Peter who's asking the silly question that Jesus answers. And by the way, it's the silly question that you and I have too. Peter, I believe, was chosen by Jesus precisely because he does the kind of things and he asks the kind of questions which allows Jesus to teach the things that you and I need to know. When you think of Peter today, do you think of a failure? No, you think of Peter as the mighty apostle. You see, Peter's life was not defined by failure, although he had failed, but his life was defined by his love for Christ. Christian life is defined by your love for Christ. And in today's text, we see, first of all, that loving Christ is evidence of eternal life. Second of all, we see that loving Christ helps us to deny ourselves. It helps us to deny ourselves. And finally, loving Christ helps us to follow Christ. Well, loving Christ is the great evidence of eternal life. When Jesus walked out to the disciples on the ocean much earlier in his ministry, remember that? The disciples had gone out on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus remained behind. Then he walked out on the ocean during this great storm. The disciples saw him and they thought he was a ghost. But he said, fear not, it is I. And Peter said this. Again, I love Peter. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water to you. And Jesus said, come. And the Bible records that two men walked on water. The Bible records that Peter stepped out of that boat and walked on the ocean, but only for a few steps, because then he took his eyes off of Christ. And he started to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus grabs him by the arm, holds him up. And he said, And he said, why did you doubt? And he walks him back to the boat. Peter failed, but he did walk on water. Of course, there was a greater failure in Peter's life. He denounced Christ 3 times in the court of the high priest, publicly. And when Peter remembered Christ's prophetic warning that he would deny him, Peter wept bitterly. Christ was crucified that night, and he rose again on the 3rd day. And we rejoice at Easter. We've been rejoicing these past weekends, these Sundays. And surely the disciples rejoiced. But imagine how Peter felt. I'm sure he was filled with joy that Jesus was alive. I'm sure that Peter was filled with joy that God had shown himself almighty to resurrect Jesus from the dead, and that the promise of salvation and eternal life was proven to be true. But Peter remembered also that he denied Christ 3 times. In our text this morning, Jesus goes about restoring Peter to leadership within the church. The other disciples were there, and just as Peter had publicly denied Christ, now Jesus publicly restores Christ to ministry. And he asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't ask Peter, "Are you sorry now that you denied me 3 times? Isn't it interesting that Jesus doesn't say to Peter, "Will you repent of your failures?" The reason that Jesus doesn't condemn Peter, and it's the same reason, by the way, that the disciples didn't condemn Peter. The other disciples didn't condemn Peter, and 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 Peter. Jesus doesn't condemn Peter. He doesn't ask if he's sorry, because Jesus knows that Peter loves him. And yet he asks him 3 times, "Do you love me?" This is one of those times it's kind of good to be able to dig in a little bit into the Greek, because the first 2 times that Jesus says, "Do you love me?" he uses the word agape. Now, you know the Bible has 2 words for love, agape and philios. Agape love is the higher love. Agape love is the love of understanding combined with purpose. These two always go together. The love of understanding combined with purpose. And purpose, think of action. That's agape love. Philios is the love that you, dear mothers, have for your children and your grandchildren. It's the love of affection. But Jesus asked Peter the first 2 times, "Do you have agape love for me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Interesting, Peter says that he has filial love for Christ. He says that all 3 times Peter answers back, "I have affection, I 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 have affection, even though you have affection for me." You see, Peter, he should have stood for Christ, first of all, because he understood that Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, and there's no other. That's the agape love. But secondly, and finally, he should have stood for Christ because of his affection for the person of Jesus. And Peter failed on both accounts. But Peter is right. He says to Jesus three times, he says, Lord, you know that I love you. Even though he failed, and remember, Peter failed when the world and Satan came roaring after him like a lion. But he still loved Jesus. And Jesus knows it. Peter wept bitterly at his failure. And Jesus knew that too. So there was no need for Jesus to call Peter to repentance. Peter, you see, even though he denied the Lord three times, even before he was restored on that beach, Peter was still saved. The three questions before the disciples, each one was followed, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus restored Peter publicly to ministry and leadership in the church. Well, what does this teach us? It teaches us, it reminds us that in your life and in mine, yes, there will be failures. And your failures, fortunately, they won't be recorded. Think about Peter. Peter's failure is recorded in Scripture for the whole world throughout all history to know. Your failures, most of them, will be between you and God, or maybe between you and a few others. Are you lost when you fail? It depends on your heart. What's in your heart? Do you love Jesus? Do you weep over your failures? So that you will not fail again. Jesus already knows the answer. The question is, do you know the answer? Do you love Christ? Each one of us needs to think on that question. If the answer is, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, then the Holy Spirit speaks to you the same words that Jesus spoke to Peter in verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. Now, John tells us that this verse signifies what death Peter would glorify God. In verse 19, and church history records that after 35 years of ministry, Peter was crucified in Rome in 64 AD. Now, this was the truth for Peter, and Jesus told him right up front. And yet, as we read the epistles, especially Peter's own letters, we read that he had great confidence, he had great peace, he had joy, and he glorified God right up to the end. Before you were saved, before anyone is saved, like the old rock and roll song of the 70s, you go where you want to go and you do what you want to do. The only problem is you're going down that wide road that leads to destruction and you're following Satan. Do you remember what Jesus said? Matthew 7:14, Jesus said, narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Do you ever wonder what makes that gate so narrow? What makes that way so difficult? The answer is, you must deny yourself. You must deny the flesh. You must deny all the desires and the baubles of this world. You must deny the temptations that Satan will bring to you. Anything that goes against the will of God, you must deny. That's what makes who girds you with the word of God, and he carries you to a place you do not wish. It probably will not be a cross on Mount Calvary for you, or in Rome. It probably won't be dangerous mission work on the border with Mexico. I think of my friend Darwin Jackson, missionary work right on the border of Texas and Mexico. Dangerous work, but probably not for you. No, the place you're called that you don't want to go, it may be when you're called to be honest in the face of trial. It may be when you're called to be chaste in a world full of sexual innuendo and temptation and lust. It may be when you're called to care for a dying loved one for years. It may be remaining single after your spouse leaves you. Wherever that place is, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God bind you and call you to follow Christ. And loving Christ helps us to follow him. When Jesus asked Peter 3 times if he loved him, we know the first 2 times Jesus used this word agape love. In other words, Jesus was asking Peter, do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand that he is the Messiah? He is the Savior. He is the only salvation. Did Peter realize that there was no other way to eternal life except through faith in Christ? Agape is the love of Christ that born-again Christians start with. And it is the higher love. It's agape love that God loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, agape love. Agape love explains how God could love those who hate him. How indeed God could die for those who hate him. How indeed God could die for those who reek with sulfur of rebellion and sin. God loves you no matter whether you're saved or not, because he understands your weakness. He understands the battle you are in with the devil. And that higher agape love of understanding is always combined with purpose. So God came and he died for your sins so that you could be forgiven. Now this is very important, because in the church today, the liberal church confuses agape love with philial love. And by the way, so does the emerging church, which you may have heard about. It's coming out of the evangelical church. We talked about Rob Bell, whose new book says that everybody's going to heaven no matter what you believe, because God loves us so much. But you see, they confuse agape love of understanding and high purpose with philial love, the love of affection. They argue that God has so much affection for each person that he will forgive all their sins, whether they repent or not, whether they have faith or not. But John 3:16 and all the other references to God's love is agape, the higher love of understanding and purpose. And Christ died for a purpose. And Christ rose again for a purpose. Your sins are paid for. And through faith in him, you have new eternal life, and you will rise again. And if you believe that, the beginning is agape love for God, for what he's done for you. Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Ultimately, this is the narrow path. Following Christ, who denied the glory of heaven, he denied the sovereignty over all creation, He denied his own God nature, and he came down and lived a humble but sinless life, and then he died for you. And Jesus says, follow me. Now, it's important to remember Jesus spoke these words on the other side of the grave. Follow me. Agape love understands what God has done for you, and it fills your heart with purpose. And that purpose is to honor God, to love him as he has loved you. And the Apostle Paul writes, and this is agape love, yet indeed I count all things a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. That's the purpose, isn't it? Our eternal life. And loving Christ helps us to follow him. And as you follow Christ, and as you hear his word, as his Holy Spirit teaches and guides you, as you see his gentle compassion for you, filial love grows too. You have an affection in your heart for Jesus. How blessed we are indeed to know this great truth. Your salvation does not rest on perfection. It rests on what Christ has done for you. And sometimes you fail. But do you love Christ? Christian life is defined by your love for Christ. Remember, he knows all things. He knows if you love him. And if you do, he says, follow me. Stretch out your hands. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God bind you and carry you even to a place you do not wish. Because that place leads to eternal life.